lot of progressives who maybe they don't win their primaries refuse to rally around the Democratic establishment candidate. So I think for the good of the party and personally for the good of the agenda that Mamadani is pushing forward, I think it's very important that Democrats close ranks around him to go forward to a big win.
Treasurer Levin, we want to thank you for being with us, co-founder and co-executive director of Indivisible, a grassroots movement with over a million participants and counting. When we come back, what many are calling the big, ugly budget bill, including historic levels of funding to ramp up mass detention and deportation, the expense of millions who will lose Medicaid funding in this country. We'll go to Florida and D.C. to talk about alligator Alcatraz, as well as the contents of the Senate bill. And stay with us.
Eva pasando el trapo sobre la mesa y está cuidando que todo brille como una perla. Cuando llegue la patrona, que no se vuelva a quejar, no sea cosa que la acuse de ilegal. O se atiende los jardines, parecen de Disneyland. Maneja una troca vieja sin la licencia. No importa si fue taxista allá en su tierra natal.
Yellow Ice by La Santa Cecilia in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Much of the discussion around Trump's budget bill has focused on the massive cuts to Medicaid, the tax giveaways to the rich, and the impact on the national debt to the tune of $3 trillion. Meanwhile, Vice President Vance, who cast the tie-breaking vote, was focused elsewhere on immigration. He wrote on social media, quote, everything else, the CBO score, the proper baseline, the minutiae of the Medicaid policy, is immaterial compared to the ICE money and immigration enforcement provisions, unquote. This bill provides a whopping $170 billion to transform immigration enforcement and detention. This includes $45 billion for new detention jails. That's 265% more than the current ICE detention budget and more than the budget of the federal prison system. ICE's enforcement budget would increase by $30 billion, a threefold increase, and there's some $46 billion for border walls and more. American Immigration Council calls the bill, quote, the largest investment in detention and deportation in U.S. history, a policy choice that does nothing to address the systemic failures of our immigration system while inflicting harm, sowing chaos, and tearing families apart, unquote. For more, we're joined by Aaron Reichland Melnick, senior fellow at the American Immigration Council, which just published the in-depth analysis of the immigration enforcement provisions of the bill. Aaron, welcome back to Democracy Now! So you have the bill being passed, eked through, needed the vice president to pass the to cast the tie-breaking vote. And Trump wasn't celebrating in D.C. He was deflecting attention from the millions who would lose Medicaid funding, something like 17 million, to go to what he's calling alligator Alcatraz in the Florida Everglades. Talk about the significance of this and this proposed massive increase to the ICE budget.
Yeah, if we look at the reconciliation bill, we can see that the amount of funding that ICE would get under this bill would be transformative for the agency. We're talking nearly 20 years worth of detention funding to be spent only in a four-year period, and an increase to ICE's enforcement budget beyond anything we've ever seen before, allowing the agency to expand mass deportations over the next 4 years to every community nationwide.
budget proposal, immigration enforcement was costing the federal government more than all of the other federal law enforcement agencies combined. We're talking about the Drug Enforcement Administration, the FBI, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, the Secret Service, and the Marshal Service. The immigration enforcement budget was already larger than all of those together. What size are we talking about now in terms of this expansion?
Yeah, we are talking about a significant increase beyond every other federal law enforcement agency. If this money goes through, if the House votes for this bill, you will see ICE now being the single largest federal law enforcement agency in the history of the nation, potentially with enough funding to hire more law enforcement agents than the FBI and more detention potentially than the entire Federal Bureau of Prisons. And beyond that, the funds also provide billions of dollars to state and local governments, meaning that when you look at the Everglades detention camp that Trump was at yesterday, you could see every cent of that facility being paid for by the federal government and not by Florida. Similar facilities are likely to open in other GOP states because we see that the reconciliation bill contains $3.5 billion for ICE to hand out to states that are looking to do similar things to what Governor DeSantis has done already. So really transformative at a national level and at a state level for immigration enforcement in this country, like nothing we've seen in the modern era.
And could you talk about the impact that this is having on the ground in the communities affected? For instance, there are reports now that in Los Angeles County, the ridership on mass transportation there has dropped about 15%, and largely Latinos and immigrants are the ones riding the buses and rapid transit in Los Angeles.
Measurable drop in civic participation in communities where this kind of enforcement is being carried out. People aren't going to their jobs. People aren't going to school. Children are staying home. Parents are keeping their kids in safety. They aren't riding the buses. They aren't going to the parks. They aren't going to restaurants. Takeout is up in New York City and places where these crackdowns have gone on. So we are seeing immigration enforcement ripple through the United States and the impacts being felt, particularly in communities that have been the target for heavy enforcement by the Trump administration. And should this bill pass, they could potentially get the resources to do heavy enforcement in not just Los Angeles, but in New York, in Chicago, in Philadelphia, in every major city around the country. You could see another Los Angeles.
Aaron, can you say why you refuse to use the term alligator Alcatraz, instead saying Everglades detention camp?
I mean, alligator Alcatraz, it's a public relations name. It's, you know, Alcatraz was a prison where it held people who had been convicted of crimes and were serving their sentence. But immigration detention is not for people serving criminal sentences. The people held in detention often have no criminal record, or they have minor, lower misdemeanors, or if they do have a serious criminal record, they've usually served their time, and if they were U.S. citizens, would have already been released. You know, the Trump administration loves to say that it's only going after the worst of the worst, but when they sent hundreds of people to Guantanamo Bay, fully a third of them had no criminal convictions at all. And we've seen with their deportation of people to Sicot in El Salvador to be imprisoned without trial, that hundreds of those people were likely innocent of any claimed gang ties and had no criminal records at all. So this is not Alcatraz. It's a detention camp that ICE is using to hold immigrants, many of whom will likely have no criminal record.
Aaron Reichlin Melnick, I want to bring into this conversation an activist in Florida. President Trump toured the new immigration jail in the Florida Everglades, flanked by Homeland Security Secretary Kristi Noem and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis. What he's calling Alligator Alcatraz, a hastily built camp on an isolated airfield in the Everglades with massive tents that hold immigrants in cages with multiple bunk beds. Trump mocking the jailed immigrants, saying they'd have to learn how to fight alligators in order to escape the jail, surrounded by alligators, pythons, and other Everglades wildlife. In fact, I think he said it'll cost less to control them because you don't have to pay the alligators. The detention camp is expected to have a detention capacity for 5,000 people. At a press conference, Trump claimed the immigrants who would be held at the site would be some of the, quote, most vicious people on the planet.
It's known as Alligator Alcatraz, which is very appropriate because I looked outside and that's not a place I want to go hiking anytime soon.
Very soon, this facility will house some of the most menacing migrants, some of the most vicious
people on the planet. We're surrounded by miles of treacherous swampland, and the only way out is really deportation.
The Florida Attorney General coined the nickname Alligator Alcatraz. He posted a promotional video about the jail in June, scored with hard rock music, including a graphic that shows an alligator with red eyes.
Asked state leaders to identify places for new temporary detention facilities. I think this is the best one. As I call it, Alligator Alcatraz. This 30-square-mile area is completely surrounded by the Everglades. Presents a efficient, low-cost opportunity to build a temporary detention facility because you don't need to invest that much in the perimeter. People get out, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons. Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide.
Attorney General Uthmeyer is also selling Alligator Alcatraz merchandise on his website. On his tour of the site, President Trump repeatedly echoed the idea the jail would be secured by alligators and snakes.
You know, snakes are fast, but alligators are big. We're going to teach them how to run away from an alligator, okay, if they escape prison. How to run away. Don't run in a straight line. Run like this. And you know what? Your chances go up about 1%. Okay? Not a good thing. They have a lot of bodyguards and a lot of cops that are in the form of alligators. You don't have to pay them so much. But I wouldn't want to run through the Everglades for long. It will keep people where they're supposed to be. This is a very important thing.
As this new Everglades jail is built, and other expansions in Florida are being discussed. Florida's leading the nation in immigrant detention deaths. Isidro Perez, a 75-year-old man from Cuba who'd lived most of his life, 60 years in the United States, died last week in ICE custody. He was held at the Crone Detention Center in Miami. As the Trump administration pushes for 3,000 arrests a day and detention numbers reach historic levels, at least 13 people have died while in ICE detention this year. For more about the Everglades jail and immigration detention, we're joined by Neri Lopez in Florida, senior organizer with Detention Watch Network, also an organizer with the Florida Detention Coalition. Neri, thanks so much for being with us. There were major protests outside as Trump was touring the jail. If you can talk about what your governor, Governor DeSantis, has called a one-stop shop because the jail is on an airfield and people can be detained then deported immediately.
Yes, it's truly inhumane what's happening in this new build of a detention center in the middle of the Everglades is going to isolate people tremendously. It's going to have an increase of conditions like overcrowding and hot temperatures and also a lack of food. There's going to be so many transfers that's going to cut people from their loved ones and their support networks.
So talk about how this all came about. Talk about your major concerns right now. Who's being held there? And also the deaths in ICE detention.
Yes. So as we found out that this was happening, people were of different sectors, like environmentalists, our folks who are in the Everglades area, from the Miccosukee and Seminole tribes, and community of immigrant folks have been absolutely just heartbroken that this is happening here. And as we were finding it out, it was truly just something that is making it harder for people to see the vibrant community of Florida, right? This is not part of Florida's values. People are resisting. We are seeing protests happening there where they are seeing for themselves just what is happening, and the fact that they're building this tent building in the middle of the Everglades is truly inhumane.
I wanted to bring Aaron Reichlin Melnick back into the conversation, senior fellow at the American Immigration Council. You have deaths in ICE detention, and you have Congress members all over the country, from Colorado to New Jersey to New York to California, attempting to inspect these often private detention facilities, and they are prevented from doing so. And most recently, the president said he can prevent these Congress members from moving in. Can you explain what's going on there, the oversight that they were empowered with not being allowed to carry it out?
Yeah, for multiple years, Congress has written into the appropriations law a provision that says that any member of Congress may perform a surprise inspection at any facility used to detain people for the Department of Homeland Security. So when a member of Congress goes to a detention center, by law, they should be allowed in. And in fact, the law expressly says that they cannot be told that they have to make an appointment, only their staff. But unfortunately, we've now seen the Trump administration say, well, due to operational concerns, we are going to force members to actually make an appointment ahead of time, even though the law says they are not allowed to do that. This is happening as the detention in infrastructure has skyrocketed. And the administration is holding 59,000 people in detention, despite Congress having budgeted only for 41,500. And given their overcrowding that we are seeing in detention facilities, the lack of medical staff, oversight is needed now more than ever, but it's becoming harder to do.
Let me ask Neri Lopez about President Trump, during his tour of the Everglades jail, saying he would approve a plan by Florida Governor DeSantis to speed up deportations by deputizing National Guard members to work as immigration judges. I want to repeat that. Deputizing National Guard as immigration judges. Talk about the significance of this.
This is so dangerous. What we're seeing is just something that we haven't seen before. It's National Guards don't have a background in immigration law. And so this is only going to create more deportations. It is going to create more separation of families, that people are not going to understand what's happening. And it's truly just very scary. It is not the values of Florida. It's not the values of our country to have National Guards posing as judges.
What is popular opinion, Neri, in Florida right now? I mean, we know that overall, you know, Trump calls it the big, beautiful bill. So many people are calling it the big, ugly, terrible bill, that it has just hit new lows in terms of popular support, even among Republicans around the country. What about in Florida?
People don't want ICE. People don't want ICE, don't want people detained. People who are being detained are mothers, they're church members, they're people in the community, everyday working people. And we don't want ICE in our area. We don't want detention centers here. They are not helping our economy, is not helping our community who are here doing different types of jobs. And the fact that this $45 billion funding, ICE funding, is going to detain 100,000 people more is truly just very dangerous and very scary for so many people.
So what happens now? And in terms of Florida politics, I mean, it was unusual, Neri, to see President Trump standing with Florida Governor DeSantis. They were run against each other for president. They became very alienated. You have DeSantis wanting his wife to run for governor. President Trump has supported Congressman Donald. As we wrap up, how does this play into state politics?
Yeah, Trump's and Governor DeSantis' cruel detention expansion is only going to exasperate so much confusion and fear into people. It's actually going to make a lot of people realize what's happening here and pay attention to the state politics. Once elections happen for governor and elected officials who are backing this agenda, is going to affect them as well, because people will be out there voting. People are realizing that this is happening here, and they are in the know of immigration detention now. People are starting to actually be knowledgeable of what's happening and want to know. And this is only going to make more people go out to vote. It's going to make people be calling their representatives, because people power is here. And we are able to make a difference, and they can't keep doing this. They will not keep doing this without people raising their voice.
Neri Lopez, I want to thank you for being with us, Detention Watch Network, speaking to us from Fort Lauderdale, Florida, and Aaron Reichlin Melnick in Washington, D.C., with the American Immigration Council. When we come back, we go to Los Angeles, where armed, masked federal agents have carried out arrests in communities across the city. Families and immigrant advocates say they're struggling to find their disappeared loved ones. And ICE has arrested yet another U.S. citizen. Back in 20 seconds.
I want to go all over the world and start.
Someone by Lila Downs in our Democracy Now! Studio. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. We go now to Los Angeles, where armed, masked federal agents have spent the last month carrying out arrests across the city. Families, immigrant advocates say they're struggling to find their loved ones when they are disappeared. In one case, the family of a community activist and mother, Yuriana Uliana, they call her Yuli Pelez Calderon, said she was taken at gunpoint on June 25th by two men in unmarked cars who pulled over as she went to work at night, which is uncommon. She used a borrowed phone to call her family to say she was taken to a warehouse where women are held alongside men. She compared the men who took her to bounty hunters and has not had proper food or access to her medication. This is Stefano Medina, managing attorney with the L.A. Office of California Center for Movement Legal Services.
So DHS is out now saying that this is a hoax and that this is all made up, and because they don't have any record of Julie in their system, which I don't doubt. She's not in their system. But Julie, in that phone call that she made to her family from a borrowed phone, told us that she was taken directly from where she was picked up in South Central Los Angeles to San Ysidro, where she was presented with an ICE official and pressured to sign a voluntary self-deportation agreement.
Medina says Yuli's family filed a missing persons report with the L.A. Police Department as they continued their search for her. Meanwhile, the family of Andrea Velez, a U.S. citizen, described her arrest by ICE last month as a kidnapping. Andrea had just been dropped off at work by her mom and her sister when the pair witnessed mass federal agents grabbing her and taking Andrea in an unmarked car during an immigration raid. One video shows a masked agent lifting Andrea off the ground and carrying her away. Andrea's sister, Estrella Rosas, spoke with CBS News Los Angeles.
They didn't have a vest that said ICE or anything. Their cars didn't have license plates. Just because of the color of our skin, they think that we're criminals. My sister was there, so they she looks Hispanic, so let's take her too.
Ultimately, Andrea Velez was released, but was charged with assaulting a federal officer during her arrest. She spoke at a news conference last week.
They didn't identify themselves. I can't go through it, but I was just going to work. It was just a day of work, and everything happened so fast. So, yeah, and they didn't identify themselves, so I was kind of scared.
For more, we're joined in Los Angeles by Dominique Boubion. She is an attorney helping to represent Andrea Velez. This is just such an astounding story. Dominique, can you explain what happened as we watch her being carried with her arms under her chest as she walking forward? Where was she taken? Where was she held? How did you find out when she was disappeared and her family panicked?
Yes, of course. So we were contacted by the family later that day in the afternoon because the mother has seen her daughter being taken by ICE agents and but didn't know they were ICE, had no idea who they were. And so they were terrified and looking for help just to locate her. And the video that you mentioned where she's being lifted and carried up, that's actually when she went to the police officers, the LAPD, asking for help, telling them these men are taking me. So I'll back up and explain what happened.
If you can explain that point, we're watching her being carried. Who is carrying her? And I do see police. I see the police cars, the LAPD. Who is carrying her?
So that is an ICE agent. We now know is an ICE agent. And she was being carried away from the LAPD officers that she went over to for help because she didn't know who the men were or where she was being taken. She had no idea. That morning, just minutes before, her mother had dropped her off at work on 9th and Main, downtown LA. And as she exited the vehicle, she walked 3-4 steps onto the sidewalk, and suddenly there was a swarm of vehicles surrounding her. So as she's kind of getting her bearings, what's going on, she sees vendors over to her right, and she assumes, okay, this must be, maybe it's a raid, I don't know. She sees men approaching them, but she looks to her left and she sees an ICE agent about 10 feet away running full speed at her and becomes terrified. She's 4'11". This is a man who, in her estimation, is over 6 feet. He's masked and he does not stop. So she gets scared and her reaction is to hover and block herself to protect herself. And she's thrown to the ground. The ICE agent continues on for about another 10, 15 seconds to get their target and then returns and tells her she's under arrest for what she describes as interfering. She gets put into a van, an unmarked van, and she's in handcuffs. And while she's waiting, she sees the officer. So she walks over to the officer and asks for if he would help her. She doesn't know who these men are. And that's when you see the ICE agent pick her up and take her back to the unmarked van.
Why was she picked up, Dominique?
She physically picked up, or why was she arrested?
Arrested.
So what she is being charged with is assault on a peace officer. So the version of the story that the federal agent is putting forth is that Andrea Velez purposefully walked into his path in order to protect whoever their target was and knocked that ICE agent off balance and hit him in the head. It's a complete fabrication, didn't happen. And number one, racial profiling. They were speaking to her in Spanish, even though she was demonstrating that she could speak fluent English and that she was a U.S. citizen. And I think it was a matter of, let's see if she is a U.S. citizen. And if she is, then we'll slap on these charges. It's an issue of arrest now, ask questions later.
So straight up racial profiling?
100%. 100%. Andrea Velez has, she's a darker skinned Latino, and 100% I believe that this was racial profiling.
We have to leave it there. We'll continue to follow this case. Dominique Bubion, one of the attorneys hoping to represent Andrea Velez, a U.S. citizen arrested by ICE. I'm Amy Goodman. Thanks so much for joining us.
Every Friday from 1 to 2 p.m., tune in to Department Uno to hear the latest and greatest from the CJSF playlist, featuring all new music from local, Canadian, and international artists. Fresh releases from the music department every week on Department Uno, only on CJSF 90.1 FM.
CJS.